Hello and welcome to Pro Yucky This Week. This is Mike Westby, your host, and the week of October 6th through the 12th. Starting it off this week, let's have a rundown of the final standings in each league. In the Central League, the Giants finish in first place, two games up on the Hanshin Tigers. Chunichi, a couple of weeks ago, secured themselves third place and the third playoff spot. Hiroshima finished in fourth, Yakult in fifth, and the Bay Stars long ago settled in sixth, 36 and a half games out. The Tigers, after enjoying first place for the first 140 games of their season, lost their number one spot in game number 141. And then they lost the pennant in game number 142, the Giants clinching in their 143rd game of the 144 game season, taking it right down to the wire. The press was quite taken aback that the mighty Tigers lost to the lowly Bay Stars. Maybe the press didn't notice that the Bay Stars won 8 while losing just 3 and tying 1 after their miserable 2-8 start against the Tigers. So, while Yoko may have been the big contributor to that early lead for Hanshin, everything eventually did even out in the end. And last week, I got a bit criticized for pulling for the Giants on Wednesday's game at Tokyo Dome. I think that some anti-Giants fans, especially of the Hanshin fan variety, don't realize how much the Tigers have become the Giants the last several years. While Hanshin fans are quick to point out the evils of the Giants for raiding Yakult of Greisinger and Ramirez, they conveniently ignore their own carp raids of Kanemoto and Adai. Then, a recent comment on the forums by a Tigers fan stating that he didn't and shouldn't have to care about the other teams really struck me. Giants fans tend to not know anything about the other teams, well, other than the Giants, and Tigers fans sure are appearing to be doing the same. And this is reinforced on TV. Giants games on NTV and Tigers games on Gaora don't tend to update their viewers on what's going on in other games very often, if at all. Yet, other scores are routinely displayed on other games that I watch, especially with Pacific League games. Christopher has repeatedly infuriated me with his refusal to acknowledge that the Bay Stars deserve credit for their victories over Hanshin. It always seems to be the Tigers who lose, not Yokohama who won. I know Christopher isn't the typical Hanshin fan, but such behavior does seem to be rather universal with Tiger fans as of late. And yeah, Yokohama may not have done much as a team this season, but they defeated both the first and second place teams on the final week, and games that were vital to both of their opponents. That seems like a pretty good finish to me. And now that I've stirred up that hornet's nest, I'm sure I'll be getting a lot of comments on that. It's on to the Pacific League. The Saitama Seibu Lions clinched first place a week ago, with Oryx taking second, Nippon Ham third. In fourth place was Lotte, all four of these top four clubs not having any games this past week. Instead, Rakuten and SoftBank faced off for last place in the Pacific League with a pair of games against each other. Each team won one and lost one, so Rakuten retained their 5th place position, while SoftBank their 6th place position since last week. the Hawks taking the first game and the Eagles taking the second game. I'm a bit saddened that Okan Toku's final game was a loss, and was really hoping that the Eagles could break into A-class this season. Now, sticking with the Pacific League, let's have a look at the title winners. The leading batter in the Pacific League was Docton's Rick with a .332 batting average. This being the first time he's won the award. Home run king went to Cebu's Okawari-kun Nakamura with 46. Nakamura also winning his first title. RBI king went to Oryx's Rhodes with 118. This the third time Rhodes has taken this award. Most hits was shared by two Lions, Kuriyama and Kataoka, both with 167, and both their first times winning the award. And another Lion, Nakajima, took the stolen base crown, stealing 50 bases. This his second title for stolen bases. As for pitchers, the best ERA, most wins, and best winning percentage, Triple Crown, went to Rakuten's Iwakuma with a 187 ERA, 21 wins, and an 840 winning percentage. This was Iwakuma's first ERA title and his second most wins and best winning percentage titles. Most strikeouts goes to SoftBank's Sugiuchi with 213. This was the first time he's taken this award. Most saves goes to Oryx's Kato with 33, his first title. And most hold points go to Lotte's Kawasaki with 31. And let's take a quick rundown on Pacific League attendance. SoftBank ranked top with 2,250,044 through the gates. This, an average of 31,251, down 2.5% from last season. The remaining five teams all reported increases in attendance. Nippon Ham finishing in second place with 1,873,931 served, an average of 26,027 per game, up 2.2%. Lotte ranked third with 1,601,632, averaging 22,245 per game, up 2.8%. Cebu with 1,413,583, averaging 19,633 per game, was up a whopping 29.3%. over last year. Oryx, 1,266,765, averaging 17,594 per game, up 11.4%. And finally, Nakden was at the bottom, still over 1,149,061, averaging 15,959 people per game, up 2.8% from last year. The overall total attendance for the Pacific League was 9,555,016, averaging 22,118 per game. This up nearly 500,000 people, or 5.6% over 2007. Cebu went from drawing the least number of fans in 2007 to fourth in 2008 with their tremendous comeback season. SoftBank, going from third to last place from last season to this, was the only team with a drop in attendance. But even with the loss of approximately two full houses, the Hawks remain the top drawer in the Pacific, the only PL team drawing over 2 million. But of course, the real Pacific League news this week was the Pacific League Climax Series, Stage 1. And it's Ken D bringing you the rundown with his Hot or Not segment. Third place finishers Nippon Ham took on second place finishers Oryx in a best of three series, all games at Osaka's Kyocera Dome. Nippon Ham, who just squeezed into the postseason by half a game ahead of Lotte, had their ace Yu Darvish starting for them in the opening game. Oryx countered with Katsuki Kondo, who was one of four Oryx pitchers to win 10 games or more this season. Darvish gave up two hits in the first inning, but escaped with no runs. Leading off the next inning, Nippon Ham's Thermal Sledge hit a solo home run to give Darvish an early 1-0 lead. Despite allowing two more hits in the second, Darvish still kept Oryx off the scoreboard and then went into cruise control. The big three-run sixth inning for the Fighters opened up a 4-0 lead, and Darvish had already struck out eight Buffaloes at that point. He stymied a chance for an Oryx comeback in the eighth, getting Tuffy Rhodes to hit into an inning-ending double play, limiting the Buffaloes to a single run. With a 4-1 lead in the ninth, Darvish needed no help in securing a 139-pitch, 14-strikeout performance. He scattered nine hits and two walks, but let only one Buffalo cross home plate all night. Game 1 went to a very hot Darvish-led Fighters team. But the question posed soon after in the online forums was, could the Fighters win one of the non-Darvish games? The starters called upon to do battle in Game 2 were Oryx's Satoshi Komatsu and Nippon Ham's Shugo Fuji. Fuji's regular season numbers were a bit wanting, 3-8 with a 3.25 ERA, while Komatsu posted a superb 15-3 with a record with 2.51 ERA this season. Komatsu also led the team with 151 strikeouts, averaging 7.89 strikeouts per 9 innings. However, regular season numbers went out the window in this game as the Fighters benefited from several strange plays to score runs. Batting in the top of the second, with the bases loaded and two outs, the Fighters' Makoto Kaneko hit a fly ball to second that bounced short of the infielder and plated two runs. Just like the day before, Nippon Ham was off to an early lead. A Rhodes single up the middle in the fourth cut the lead in half, and it seemed as if that first hit on the day would be the spark that got Oryx's offense going. But just as soon as Oryx broke through in the fourth, the Fighters came back with an unearned run in the fifth, this time scoring on a high pop fly off the bat of Shinji Takahashi. Instead of a routine out, though, shortstop Mitsutaka Goto dropped the ball in short left field, allowing in a run. It was 3-1 Fighters now, and only a 4-6-3 double play prevented more damage. Oryx killed another rally of their own in the sixth with bad base running, and let the game get completely out of hand after Komatsu departed. A 4-run seventh inning for the Fighters, highlighted by a Jason Botts 2-run home run, then having Michael come in to close the door on Oryx's season in the ninth, sent the Fighters on their way to the second stage. The final was 7-2 in favor of the Fighters, with Kazuhiro Kiyohara looking on from a suite at his frosty and now eliminated ball club. Game 1 went to Nippon Ham 4-1. 25,532 were in attendance. Darvish got the win, Kondo the loss. Sledge hit a home run. The game time was 3 hours and 16 minutes. Game 2, Nippon Ham 7, Oryx 2. Attendance was 26,703. Fuji was the winner, Komatsu the loser. Botts hit a home run, and this game took 3 hours and 24 minutes. Before I go into rattling off more numbers, I'd like to remind you that you are invited to participate in Pro Yaku this week. You can do so by calling me up via Skype to Pro Yaku Live. Also, you can send in scripts, ideas for different segments, and of course your own audio segment if you so desire. I look forward to hearing from you. Now on to the Central League titles. Yokohama's Uchikawa was the leading batter in the Central League, batting .378. This his first title. Home run king was teammate Murata on Yokohama with 46. This his second home run crown in a row. The RBI king was Yomiuri's Ramirez with 125. This the third time Ramirez has taken this crown. Ramirez, by the way, is also favored to be the league MVP. Most hits and on base percentage both go to Yokohama's Uchikawa with 189 hits for a .416 on base percentage. The stolen base crown goes to Yakult's Fukuchi, who stole 42 bases. This the first time he has qualified for said award. For pitchers, the best ERA goes to Yakult's Ishikawa, who had a 2.68 ERA. This his first title. Most wins goes to Yomiuri's Greisinger, who won 17, the second time he's won this title. Most strikeouts goes to Hiroshima's Lewis, who struck out 183 over the season. This his first title. Most saves goes to Kroon with the Giants, who saved 41 games. And Hanshin's Kubota takes the most hold points with 37. This his second time in a row to take this crown. The three Giants to make the list were all with other teams last season. Ramirez and Greisinger for Yakult, and Kroon was with Yokohama. The Bay Stars' Uchikawa took three titles this season, this being the first season he's managed to get enough at-bats to qualify for a title. What's more, Uchikawa's 3.3780 batting average ranks him in 7th place on the all-time batting average list, just 0.0001. That's 1/10,000th of a point under 6th place Cromartie. This surpasses the highest batting average record for any right-handed batter, which was set by Tuffy Rhodes at 369 in 1999. Uchikawa's teammate Murata hit home run number 46 on Sunday, the last day of the season, to take sole possession of the home run crown. 14 of Murata's home runs came at the hands of Yakult pitching. Ramirez hit 13 home runs off of Yakult, with Yokohama being his second favorite pitching staff to munch off of, with 11. Just imagine what Murata could have done if he'd have faced Yokohama pitching. Yakult's Ishikawa threw one pitch to one batter for a single out on Sunday, lowering his ERA to 2.681 to surpass Hiroshima's Lewis at 2.679, a difference of just 0.03, that is 0.003. The rookie is also a serious contender for the Rookie of the Year award. Central League attendance this year, once again, Hanshin tops the chart with 2,976,754 people through the gates, averaging 41,344 per game. However, this is down from 3,144,180 last season, a drop of 5.3%. The Giants were followed just about 100,000 under Hanshin, with 2,876,274 averaging 39,948 per game, a drop of 1.2%. Chunichi had the third highest attendance with 2,427,805 through the gates, averaging 33,720. This, a 1.6% increase over last season. Hiroshima saw 1,390,680 through the gates, averaging 19,315 at tiny Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo. This, a 23.2% increase over last year. Yakult saw 1,281,714, averaging 17,802 per game, for a 3.9% loss from last season. And finally, Yokohama finished at the bottom in attendance with 1,129,954 through the gates, an average of 15,694, down 8.3% from last year. The overall totals for the Central League, there were 432 games in all, 72 games apiece. or 72 home games apiece for each of the teams, for a grand total of 12,083,181 fans in attendance, averaging 27,970. This just down by about 50,000 from last season, a 0.5% decrease. Like Cebu in the Pacific League, the Hiroshima Toyo Carp jumped 23% and climbed from last place in attendance in 2007 to fourth in 2008. Much of this was part of the Sayonara Hiroshima Shimin Kyujo campaign that went along with their playoff hopes until the final 2 weeks of the season. Hanshin fans seem to be growing a little weary of winning, and the Giants were 13 games out at one point, taking a hit in attendance early on. As Hiroshima draws less than half of the top two teams on average, their huge increase was unable to offset the overall decreases of the top two teams. The bottom two teams performed poorly on the field, and attendance reflected their performances. Next up is it's become free agent speculation season. As the season has finally come to a close, the Hot Stove League starts to heat up with talk of free agents, both domestic and foreign. The first major free agent to get a sizable chunk of a page in Nikkan Sports was Chunichi's ace, Kawakami. They even showed a photo of the front page of Nikkan Sports dated December 18, 2006, with a headline proclaiming that Kawakami said that he was interested in going to the majors as a free agent after the 2008 season. Unable to get a good quote this time around, they just reprinted his quote from 2 years ago and said that a staff member noted that Kawakami had turned down a multi-year offer from the Dragons on September 25, just a few weeks ago, paving the way to listen to the market, both foreign and domestic. Again, this kind of article just really drives me crazy. You know, the only reason I mention it is because over the next several weeks, we are going to hear about this from bloggers and mainstream journalists, quote unquote, in the U.S. Kawakami's name, Uehara's name, all of the big names are going to be bandered about, things that they said years ago are going to be brought up. It's just going to be madness, and I really don't like covering this stuff. I prefer to wait for a decision to be made by the player or by the ball club, as the case may be, rather than just speculate about what may or may not happen. I know that a lot of you want me to speculate, but sorry, that's just not the way I do it. So, no matter how much or how little truth there is to this rumor, we can expect more of this kind of nonsense in the weeks and months to come, I'm sure. Brown Kantoku is going to continue with the carp. Maybe. Matsuda Hajime, owner of the Hiroshima Toyo Carp, has expressed that he'd like Marty Brown Kantoku to continue to lead the carp at their new home a little bit closer to Hiroshima Station next season. Matsuda owner said, "After coming this far, plus one or minus one from 500 doesn't matter." I've long speculated that Matsuda owner has a soft spot for Brown Kantoku. I mean, making amusing t-shirts of a manager throwing a base rather than reprimanding such outlandish behavior as most owners would do just really speaks volumes for how much Matsuda owner likes Brown Kantoku. However, Brown Kantoku has since turned down the initial offer for staying. Now, I don't know the details of the offer, so I'm not going to say that he's just trying to hold out for more money or that the owner is being stingy or anything like that. I don't know. So I'm not going to side with either side at this point regarding the negotiations. It's probably best to think things over for a while anyway. So I'm putting it down to prudency for the time being. And finally, I'm sure you've read plenty about Okada Kantoku announcing his intent to retire, so I won't go into that. And that's a wrap. I'd like to thank you all for joining me this evening, live or via podcast. ProYaku This Week is a production of JapaneseBaseball.com. and it's distributed under the Creative Commons license. You may copy, redistribute, and or rebroadcast in whole or in part in any way you wish, provided that you give credit to JapaneseBaseball.com. This is Michael Westbay, your host. Have a good one. Take care.